This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
Today we are joined by a very special guest.
We have Mickey Mod
here with us. If you have been listening to the show at all, you know that we're big fans. So know that I'm uncomfortable and excited at the same time. Mickey is a porn performer. He has worked with such greats as Erica Lust. He's done a lot of work on Four Chambers, which we'll actually talk about a video that Four Chambers made today, and across all their kinds of mediums.
Yeah.
Anything major I missed? How'd we do?
You did great.
Okay, great.
No, I think that was a decent.
It was all right. I could have done more.
In the context.
We could have hit more like parentheticals there, probably.
It's okay. I understand that you're nervous and excited at the same time, and so that's a lot of feelings to kind of.
Does this
process.
Happen? There's a lot happening over here.
Does this yeah. happen what? Often, Mickey, where people are like, "I'm nervous, and this is so crazy to meet you."
I have definitely had a lot of experience in being comfortable with other people's nervousness.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Like, there's, I think, a weird thing that happens when a lot of people recognize you.
Yeah. Do you get recognized fairly regularly?
Actually, only in this last week, I've been recognized like twice while like out in the wild, and it's been kind of interesting. I have like a very like. The people who like approach me and say, "Hey, are you Mickey Mod?" are usually pretty chill about it.
Yeah,
very, like polite and respectful, like about like distance and just like, "Hey, can I ask you something?" sort of thing approach.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. Not everybody I know gets that sort of like in public recognition sort of thing, but
yeah.
Or I get the sort of like, "I recognize you from somewhere, but I don't know where I recognize you."
Yeah, they don't want to say it. They're probably scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they'll recognize me and then they get like what I like to call like the shame wash.
Oh.
Where they're like,
"Oh, no."
Oh, and then their face just kind of changes to like, I know why I need to clear my browser history sort of recognition sort of thing.
But, they shouldn't feel shame. Come on.
I don't want anybody to feel shame. We don't, it would be, that's my dream to like live in that world where people are just like, "Hey, great job. Like I totally like came to that thing and it was great." And
one of the many things we're trying to do here with our little podcast,
destigmatize.
Yeah.
Is that what you're gonna know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
So our search term today.
Oh yeah. We should probably talk about that.
Is we'll touch on it, but then I want to go back to other stuff. But the search term today is threesome. Which would be more fitting if we were recording in the same. It'd be cuter if Rachel and I were both here and we could make jokes about it. But I am in LA and Rachel is in New York. But the search term, I think everyone basically understands the premise of. But should we? Do you have a fancy definition,
Rachel? When
a group
of three people join together for sexual pleasure.
Pretty clear.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. It's pretty direct. Yeah.
Pretty straight to the point.
Yeah.
I do have to say that I am sad that I'm not in the room. But I am enjoying just the idea that Laura's just in a room with someone that she's masturbated to probably 100 times.
Calling me out, Rachel. You're really calling me out here.
Hey, it takes a lot of work to destigmatize.
It is.
You know,
we're doing the good work.
It's okay.
She's leading us all right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Can we talk a bit about your history coming into the industry and your experience working into it? As we said before we started recording, like, how much time do we have? But I'd love to hear a little bit about it. Like, how did you originally start as a performer?
Craigslist.
So,
actually, you know, I started as a performer a little over 11 years ago.
Wow.
And at that time, Craigslist had a section called, I think it was called, like, adult gigs or erotic gigs.
Oh, cool.
This was before, like, Craigslist used to have, like, kind of, like an escort section and, like, different sort of, like, adult industry sort of, like, theme things. But then there was the Craigslist killer, and that kind of changed that whole thing. Craigslist pulled that section. But I was kind of in a place in my life where I was just kind of looking to just explore my sexuality in all sorts of ways. Like, I've really good friend of mine from college was dating someone who was a adult performer. So like the conversation was just kind of like, you know, fresh from like hanging out with people. And then like I saw an ad that was posted by kink.com. They were looking for extras. I was in San Francisco at the time. And I sent some, you know, I took some photos. I did self-timer photos like on a tripod with a film camera. What year it was. That was about like my income level at the time. And like, that's what was available to me.
Also your aesthetic.
I thought you were going to say that was like an art choice.
Yeah.
Like
you were vibe.
Really, you're elevating your submission that way.
You know, if it happened like a few years later, I'd be like, yeah, I chose that, but I'm like, that is what I have.
Truthfully.
And,
it's just what
was
around.
I know how to develop my own photos. That was the
nice.
Yeah. So,
did you say that it was partially you wanting to explore your own sexuality? So this sort of came out of a curiosity and was this a space to do that, or was it a combination of just like wanting the work, or which do you think compelled you more?
I mean, it was definitely. I was kind of at a point where I was like, you know, had suffered some, you know, personal like tragedy and came out of that is the like life is too short to not do the things that you want to do, and like you owe it to yourself to make sure that like at the end of your life, if you have the chance to look back to say like I don't regret that or I wish I had done that, that's something that you have to reconcile you know, in your final moments, as I was thinking in terms of that loss. And so I was like, all right, track it, I'm gonna do some of these things. And always, you know, had a, you know, curiosity, obviously strong curiosity in sex, and trying to find, you know, ways or spaces that were, you know, safe to explore those, that, you know, sometimes in the context of relationships, you know, that is a sort of, you know, you have to make different compromises. And there's oftentimes like a fear of like, oh, like, what if my partner doesn't want to
have fear of asking for something you might want that might be outside of their boundaries.
Yeah. And that sort of like, you know, emotional sort of like risk. And I had just gotten out of a relationship. So I'm like, okay, this is
as good a time as any. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I applied. I got like an interview, which is not something that like a lot of companies like even do. Like LA has a sort of go-see sort of like agent culture.
Yeah. But
in the Bay Area, like that's, I mean, a lot has changed, but that wasn't really...
the thing then.
It wasn't
it was
really the thing.
Like kink was, this is kink.com.
Yeah, kink.com
was the
only.
Is this kind of them in their heyday too? Like, is this when they were like,
this
they
is
had
kind
the
of like
and were...
just coming. It wasn't like the explosion. It was like they had been in the armory like for maybe like 2-3 years, which, you know, was kind of a dramatic shift for that neighborhood. I'm from the Bay Area originally, so I got to see sort of that rise. And then I also, in addition to like working there as a performer, like years later, I worked there in the talent department. So I went from like getting an interview, which got me into the industry, to having a role where I actually was the person like interviewing a lot of people. I actually interviewed Owen Gray. And like Mona Wales and like actually like Venus Lux and actually a ton of people who have
since made a big career for themselves.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that way. But yeah, Craigslist, that's how I got in. And then they just kind of kept calling me back. They're like, okay, you do a good job. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I like weird shit. So like
that's awesome.
And they kept
paying
me.
Hand in
so
hand.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And how, like, if you don't mind me asking, like, how has your career evolved, and is this your primary source of income? Like, is this your whole life, or do you juggle multiple things and this is kind of part of it?
I juggle multiple things. There have definitely been periods where it has been like my primary source of income. Mm-hmm. Now, at the point where I am, it's kind of like just for fun and being able to kind of like still participate in the community and doing the work. I work for kink.com full time, but my title is I'm a junior software engineer for them.
Oh.
And I've worked for them in various capacities. I used to do the behind the scenes blog. I used to like work in the talent department. So I've worn a lot of hats for that company.
Oh,
and
nice.
I took some time off and moved to Austin for a while. And then I studied programming from there. And so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So like that's kind of my 9-to-5. And then like, you know, I have the side hustle.
And then you still do scenes.
Which is a nice place to kind of be, because then I can choose to do the work that I really want to do or enjoy, or that, you know, I don't feel I have to like take things to reach a certain financial goal, which I'm very privileged and understand how privileged that is to a space to be in.
So you go ahead, Rachel.
I was just going to say, so you do, you know, it seems like just knowing your work that you do like take that into consideration, like the projects that you say yes to and everything.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that, you know, that wasn't always the case. Like, I definitely feel like as my career has become more established, it's and not being in Los Angeles, I have to be very like intentional about like the LA work that I take, because like there's a flight, and then there's, you know, travel expenses and accommodations and Ubers and Lyfts and all these sort of things. So like things have to be worth my time, not just financially, but also in terms of like the psychological side of the work.
And the quality. Experience of putting it together too.
Yeah. And so, you know, after a while that kind of gets pared down to like, okay, like I'm not super into like maybe the content of the scene, but like it pays well. And like everybody on the set is like really amazing. And like, I know I'm going to be there for like this amount of time, and it's not going to go over that sort of time. Sometimes like that is like as much of a benefit of like, I like working for this site and they do awesome work. And like I work with like, it's still working with really cool people, even though like maybe the front end of like the product may not be like the best visually, or there's like a high production value, like the four chamber sort of thing. And like, I feel there's a greater overall sort of thing. So like, I mean, that's, I think generally how over the course of time, I've kind of thought about choosing my work. And then there's also just the more kind of like ethical things of like, I don't want to work for that company because I feel like they perpetuate, like reinforce like shitty toxic masculine,
toxic masculinity.
Or, you know, perpetuate like tropes and stereotypes that I don't want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Or like this company is known to, you know, be really poor with communication, which has led to people being in situations where they, you know, haven't been safe.
Right.
And that's,
anybody, well, maybe you don't want to, because I was like, anybody want to call out we shouldn't be watching?
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably guess in some circumstances, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think nowadays there's enough of a lens that it actually doesn't take that much to kind of, much research to kind of, you know, see who kind of the offenders are. I think it's, oftentimes it's, I think, less clear to people that like porn is not like a monolith. And so it's not like, you know, like this company or like this individual who makes content is bad. So like the whole thing is bad.
Right.
You know,
it can be specific
collections of companies that all have their own sort of policies or lack of policies or poor communication or great communication or hire people.
Yeah.
It, you know, it is, business driven, and it is, I think, the probably one of the purest examples of capitalism that like we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the food industry, right? You have McDonald's on one end where it's like, you know
what you're getting.
It's made quickly and cheaply. You know what you're getting. And
it's like, bad for you and bad for the world.
Yeah. And your consumption, like there's,
you're contributing to an economy by consuming that.
Yeah,
absolutely. We talk about that a lot. Yeah. Are there any filmmakers that you have worked with or any specific platforms that I obviously didn't like mention 2 minutes ago that we might not have heard of that you feel comfortable endorsing or you've had a great experience working with that we should check out?
I mean, I started out with one of my like very first scenes was like for Crash Pad.
Crash Pad series has come up a bunch. A friend of mine told me about them initially, and we're trying to get her on the show just to talk about it. Yeah. So we haven't featured Crash Pad series yet,
but they have
a series and then a platform itself. And it's out of San Francisco, right?
Yeah. They're Bay Area based. And, you know, I think right now is kind of like a really exciting time to kind of support your favorite performers. Like there's just more direct ways. Lots more people are making their own content.
Right.
And, you know, I think there is enough, like because of that, I think there is enough of if you follow a performer that you really like, odds are that they are able to kind of like pick and choose the work that they want to do, that they feel like, I mean, if you look at like your favorite performers and the work that they're promoting, like you can kind of tell like, okay, like you're promoting this because you like this, or you're promoting this because this is, you know, part of like the brand. I think it's really easy now to look at someone's like social media and be like, oh, okay, this person really enjoys like this type of work, working with these sort of companies.
Yeah.
You know, versus like this person is, you know, pushing their affiliate links and you know, going for it.
Because hopefully they wouldn't be promoting anything they had a terrible time working on.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Sometimes it's contractually obligated to promote stuff.
Oh, like, good to know. Yeah, like good point.
Other entertainment forms.
Yeah, I know certainly on the Hollywood side of the entertainment business, there's a lot of like contractual obligation that way. So that makes sense. So that would be true of adult entertainment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, I had a question in my brain. Were you going to say something though?
I was just going to say like following people on social media and stuff. Did you have a Tumblr and did that like drastically, you know, change the way you communicated with fans? Like once Tumblr was like no more porn.
I had a Tumblr and like, you know, my Tumblr was kind of more for just kind of like, you know, Tumblr was my Pinterest before Pinterest.
Sure.
You know, really a thing. And so I kind of got into the Tumblr game late in terms of like, I'm really bad with social media. Like I don't update enough.
Yeah.
Like I am really good with like everybody else's content except for my own. I'm like slow to edit things and like post pictures.
It's also like work to just constantly be taking selfies or, you know, like generating
don't I know
that content.
Honey, let me tell you.
I was gonna say Rachel can tell you. The selfie queen here.
It's a lot of work.
I imagine it's hard also when like things like Instagram are so policed, you know, I feel like so many of my favorite performers. We just got shut down.
I saw that. Yeah.
We're back. Like the account
but
came back.
My God, it's a dire 2 weeks. but yeah, so many of my favorite performers are like, you know, their Instagrams are getting shut down. And it's like, well, now I want to know like what they're up to and like ways I can, you know, keep up with them and like watch their work.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine like how hard that is and how frustrating it is. Like,
well, it hurts the ability of that performer to promote themselves and to promote their business.
And the community. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, the practice of shadow banning on Twitter, that being a, you know, definitely like a go-to for the adult industry because their content restrictions aren't as
intense,
which is why adult industry has gravitated that direction. But when you shadow ban, you know, a community and people like, you know, like some of my best friends, like I can't send them a direct message. You know, when you search in your direct message to like pop up, I want to send this to
so-and-so.
Yeah.
Some of my best friends don't come up in that search.
Wow.
Oh,
and I'm like, these are people that I communicate all the time with.
Yeah.
Like I have to like, you know, like, oh, what is that person's specific handle to type in? Like that
so
auto generate. But when you aren't able to see the conversation that like we're that's how we talk, and that's how we have called out so many other people for unethical behavior, how we've called out the government for their unethical behavior with Proposition 60 and Measure B and you know, a lot of the larger conversation around sex work that we participate in. If we're not able to see each other having those conversations, or you know, stating our ideas or rallying to organize our you know, that is a real big issue.
Yeah, it's a self-governing transparency system, and the internet has been incredibly helpful on that front. And now a lot of this new legislation is actually counterproductive towards the aims that it's supposed to. Like, Sestafos is supposed to be fighting sex trafficking, but it's putting sex work in the dark, and it's destroying those, like, that network of accountability and that sort of helpful transparency. So fuck that.
I know.
I eloquently have to say.
Should we talk some more about threesomes?
Yeah.
Let's I've got some facts. I've got some facts. I've got some stats, you know? Let's get to it.
I love your stats, Rachel.
Yeah, I live for this shit. Okay, so 2018, threesome was the 10th most popular search term.
Wow.
Fascinating,
number
right?
Number 10. I would almost think it would be higher, but 10's respectable.
Yeah.
I'll take
it. It's also particularly high for women. In some parts of the West, Midwest, and Northeast, threesome videos are the most watched by women.
Interesting. Yeah. Is this one of your search terms, Rachel?
It's actually not. But I do have to say, if I do watch a threesome, I do prefer it to be like man, woman.
Yeah.
MMF, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I like. Because I feel like those, like, I feel like the misconception is that, like, there's like this weird, like, you know, homophobia around it, but I feel like, you know, it's actually two men like centering on a woman's pleasure.
Yeah.
In
something
my most,
I came across. Sorry,
you know,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say in most of the videos that I've watched, you know.
Yeah, something I came across just traversing the aggregates with this search term in mind this week was the word bisexual being associated with the MMF scenes more often than I was like, is this a coded way to like tap that like it's going to be too like it just confused me because I think that's because I'm looking at the aggregates and this is like a sort of like heteronormative approach saying like this is a different sexual like othering it, you know, like othering the male female dynamic. But I don't know if that has come out. Like, do you think that's actually a deliberate term, or those are just like some of the videos I came across?
Well, I think it's interesting, like how, like if you think about how commonplace it is to like not label like male, female as bisexual, like that's how
like girls can just make out and it is what it is, or like girls can
or
have
that
sex
it's
with
almost
each other.
The sort of expectation like from that scene that there's going to be some like lesbian contact and that is just totally expected, rather than like if there might be like two men in a room that there you might have to warn you that like dicks may touch each other.
It's officially bisexual, you know, because the men engage and that's sort of what it's implying.
Interesting.
This is a search term for me sometimes. It's come up certainly, like I like having a threesome in real life is definitely like a fantasy of mine with all gender dynamics there.
Have you ever had a threesome?
I haven't. Mm. Not officially. Nothing like no sex, no penetration stuff. Just like fooling around kind of times.
Sure.
But yeah, I definitely want to with both female, male.
Yeah.
Male.
All forms.
Yes. All gender.
Yeah.
Math. All gender math. There.
Ratios.
Yeah.
Ratios. I'll take it all. Just three people, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have had a threesome once and I had a great time.
Yeah.
But yeah. I had a great time because none of the people involved were in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of, it just was like happenstance. It was like those two people have had sex and they also wanted to have sex with me. And I was like, yeah, great. And they were both like very like sex positive people. And the way it was approached was just like very organically. And I never felt like, you know, like it wasn't like on an app or something where it felt like there was like a pressure, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was like, it just happened so organically, which I think was the best way in my experience for my first threesome.
Yeah.
Sounds
lovely. Yeah, it was good.
Sounds like it.
And now, you know what? I'm itching to have another one now that I think about it. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm single.
They're difficult to facilitate, you know?
They are. They can be, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's often, you know, like a lot of boundary discussion that needs to happen, especially if there's like an existing relationship in place.
Yeah. Like, do you want it to be with people you know? Do you want it to be with a couple? Do you, when you're a couple, you know, want to have a person with, you know, a lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in an open relationship for a long time and I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Oh, sure.
To bring in a third, but
yeah.
You know, we kept ourselves busy with other complications or things to talk about or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
according to a Forbes article in 2018, 1 in 5 Americans have had a threesome and 1 in 7 finds them appealing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
All right.
I was kind of shocked by that stat. I was like, wow, a lot of people are out here having threesomes.
Yeah. 1 in 5 is a little like the 1 in 7, saying that it sounds appealing. Sounds right. 1 in 5 actually having done it, like, makes me feel like I got to get my shit together.
Yeah. And the age group of, like, the most engagement for multiple sexual partners was, like, 25 to, in between the ages of 25 to 29 for both sexes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually makes sense because you kind of, like, eased into probably, like, your own sexual journey and felt a little more comfortable and then been in a space where you want to explore more.
Exactly.
And then you hit 30 and you're just done.
Then you're like, I guess I'll just have mediocre sex with one person for the rest of my life. You know?
Jokes.
Or you just say something else? Or just have 17 vibrators like me. You know? I was going to say something
else. Or all of the above.
Or both, frankly. Really. You know, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Another like confusing thing about this article is like said 10% of women and 18% of men reported having had a threesome. So, like, who's lying?
Wait, 10%
of women
and 18% of men. And this is all sexualities. So this is gay and
you know, that actually wasn't
men?
Specified. It wasn't specified. But if that's the case, then okay, sure. That makes more sense.
I need a spreadsheet to like think through how that math.
I need a mathematician.
Yeah, is there an Excel sheet?
Is there an algorithm for that to tell us like if then like if the hetero men are lying about having more threesomes than they did, and the hetero women are lying about fewer, like how? The math doesn't seem to add up. But I would have to. I'd have to get out a whiteboard or something.
Consult the whiteboard.
Yeah.
This is also a fun little fact that I found while Googling research data. 28% of Australians have participated in a threesome. It's popular down under.
It's bigger there.
It's bigger
there.
They
figured it out.
Are Australians more sex positive than Americans?
I would imagine so.
That's
been my experience. But, like, I mean, that's a sample size of maybe, like, 28 people like, that I've met that are from Australia that are most of which have been in the sex industry. So that's a very skewed.
But
I've met a handful of non-sex industry Australians that
have
seem
also
pretty,
been very sex positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've got gun control figured out. So it makes sense to me that sex
They're
positivity
advanced,
would be doing well.
Is next on the, for sure. Also in 2017, 3 men were arrested for filming a threesome on a tube train in front of passengers.
Wow.
They just
bold.
On the tube in front of people who probably didn't consent to that. They were just trying to get to work.
It's a guerrilla style shoot and they're really, you know, they're like the extras are just whoever's there.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then they were only fined £1,000. So. Could have been worse.
Oh, yeah. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd pay $1,000. No, I wouldn't.
Fuck it. Fuck it. Hell yeah.
Worth That's it. An unnecessary production expense, you know. We can figure out a workaround for that.
Yeah. And then another fun fact. This comes from yourtango.com, which is a site I've never heard of. So take this with a massive grain of salt. But this site boasts saying that they said that only 2% of women have gotten it on with 2 guys and it was just a one-time thing. So I don't know.
2%.
Yeah.
Lucky girls.
I guess. But like, if there was no, there was no links, like there was no, like they didn't cite any sources. Like I was like, how did you come up with these numbers?
They didn't actually do a study. They just threw out a percentage.
I think about 2%.
We're going with 2%.
Sounds about right.
Amazing. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, Rachel. Do you have a learn a term or should we take a break before we review our videos?
Girl, you know I got to learn a term.
Bring me that term.
Okay. It is unicorn.
Oh, go ahead, girl.
How fitting. A unicorn is a person who sleeps with an existing couple.
Yeah.
You know
Rachel,
that term
do you know
well.
Why? Yeah, I know this term well. I did a series called Unicorn Land where I played a unicorn. And the conceit of the show is that every episode I was dating a different couple or like fooling around with or having sex with or on a date with a different couple of different kinds of couples and different kinds of folks.
Yeah.
Great show. Check it out on Vimeo.
Yeah. Shout out.
Pew, pew, pew. Yeah.
I'm assuming also, it's called a unicorn because, you know, they're mythical and they're, you know, hard to obtain.
Yeah, difficult to find.
Difficult to find in the wild.
All right, should we take a break?
Yeah, this feels about a good time to take a break.
I think now's the time.
Yeah, we'll be back in a hot sec.
Yeah, be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Hope you guys liked that sexy little break we just took. I know I did. So the first vid we're going to talk about is called
From My Family Pies is the series.
Yes.
It's called Cinco de Payo, although the link we found used a different title, but I believe the like the Full House typography title card we got was Cinco de Payo.
Oh, right. I felt that was way back to like Family Ties with the like illustration of the family.
You're right. I was looking at specifically like the lettering and it took me back to Full House, but you're right. It's deeper cuts.
It's definitely that sort of like time period, like out of the box sitcom lettering. It's like Full House, Family Matters, like that TGIF sitcom variety.
They even had a jingle, an opening theme song. I wrote it. Actually, it's like there was some production value behind that jingle.
I don't
know. That theme song.
Who did they get
to
write it?
I don't know.
They really
Somebody's
went for
friend.
It.
Yeah. Or just someone who like works in the industry and has like multiple talents.
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
They're like, I could crank
I
out
wrote
a theme
the lyrics
song.
Down. I wish I had actually learned the song because if I could fully sing this right now, I would be winning. But I'm just gonna read the lyrics.
Okay.
Love when we come together for family time. I know we'll always weather the hardest. So go on, get it. Yeah, you've gotta try my family pies.
Yum.
Oh, God. Oh, and we should also say that this is starring Angel Smalls, Anya Olsen, who I fully did the, like, where do I know her from? And it was ski instructor. Samantha Hayes, Tiffany Brooks, and Logan Longcock, who wasn't credited on the aggregate we found this on. But that's Logan Longcock, right?
Yeah.
That's who that is?
Yeah. It's from, so My Family Pies is a series, part of the New Bios Porn Network, which also owns, like, Mom Teach Sex, Bad Teens Punished, Teacher Fucks Teens, and Princess Come. So, just some great series. In case this is something up your alley, check them out, I guess. Princess Come sounds pretty cool.
Sounds like it's for someone. Maybe not for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Try not to
like
kink
it's
shame.
A dedicated fan base.
Yes. Yes.
That is what those people really
That is
are
what
into.
They are there for. Basic plot. We are at a family Cinco de Mayo gathering.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intimate gathering, mm-hmm. and I mean that in every sense of the word. It's mom and dad, sister, and, well, stepbrother and stepsister.
And stepsister's friend.
And then
friend.
Yeah. And then stepsister's
Just
friend.
Just the five of them having their own party for Cinco
yeah.
de Mayo.
Because I think Cinco de Mayo, I think, yeah. you know, intimate family gathering.
Yeah. And then, you know, uh-oh, all of a sudden, sis and stepbro get it on. And then somehow... Or no, friend and stepbrother.
Yeah, friend and stepbrother. Like, friend is flirting with...
Friend and stepbrother kind of, like, they start messing around
They start
around
their
first.
Flirtation. Yeah. And they, yeah.
Can we go back a little bit before yes, this sort of sexual interaction happens? Because there are some serious things, like...
I know.
Wrong in yes. this. Like, I mean, I like how kind of surreal and sitcom with the canned laughter.
Yes.
And,
so,
and
laugh
that sort
track.
Of style of, like, humor of, like,
yeah.
oh, you.
Ooh,
and then, like, ooh, yeah.
yeah.
It kind of Saved by the Bell sort of feel yeah. to it. I have, like, deep concerns about, like, when I was watching this over the shitty hotel Wi-Fi, I was thinking, like, did something happen to the parents where they are so mentally checked out where they're just like, our kids keep fucking. Yo, I know. Like, my
so
son,
oblivious.
Your daughter keep fucking. They're clearly fucking. And we're just going to look out the window and ignore it.
Yeah.
We're just slightly in the other room.
Yes.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
The entire conceit of the film is that they're, like, at the sink doing dishes at this yeah. raucous Cinco de Mayo party.
Just staring out
and
the
their
window.
Kids yeah. are literally like
she looks at a
book. Table away,
yeah.
like fucking under next to just standing up. And every once in a while, they periodically have to come in and like clink a dish around yeah. so that they can stop and go, ooh,
shh, we gotta be quiet.
I know. And then getting back to fucking.
Who wants to watch a porn with a laugh track? Is my first question.
I am here for it. Now, can yeah. I say?
I mean, I feel if in there's certain like BDSM and fetish scenarios where like that could be a fun
could
thing
a
for
thing?
A humiliation
yeah.
sort of thing.
Oh,
but,
I
see. Like,
yeah.
This was not that.
It wasn't this.
This was not that. I want to talk about when Anya Olsen would stand on a chair. Like, she wasn't wearing underwear and she was wearing a very short skirt. They
yeah.
would do. The like sitcomy like ooh like yeah. the sound that like on Full ooh. House when somebody like kissed it was like woo
yeah.
like they did that sound and I was like
just but then they didn't do it for anything else like then they started like fucking and like actually hooking up and like dicks came out you know but like there was they just did it for like up the skirt shot
yeah
that's it.
Which is to say that this whole thing is just like a parody of itself. Like
yeah.
I it felt like a Tim and Eric episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
yeah.
watched, but it just was like so
absurd.
It would have been so much better if it had just if it kept going in like way bizarre directions.
Yes,
like
it just continued like, to get weird rather
yeah.
than being like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're just,
if we had just gone
just
like too many
made...
cooks with it, like yes. it would have been like fantastic.
Yeah.
Just...
yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
I love that they made a point about the fact that neither of them are wearing underwear, but then they don't talk
yeah.
about the fact that he's not wearing underwear. Like, she pulls his dick out, and, like, he also was not wearing underwear. He was just, like, commando in his jeans.
Hey, we only have a half an hour to make this sitcom porn.
I know. And also,
we gotta
like,
be
fully hard.
Time.
Just was already hard. Like, I don't know
yeah.
how.
Maybe Viagra?
Yeah, I guess. But
maybe Cialis, maybe a supplement
yeah.
of some
so then,
kind.
So the friend and the stepbrother are just fully fucking.
Yeah.
And then,
well, they start, like, they're, like, he's, like, fingering her, and then they're, like, in the corner by the table while they're,
mm-hmm.
the business with the pinata. There's,
yes.
like, a 10-minute
okay, so, yeah.
act.
That was way too long.
I know.
That was
so
way
much.
Too long. It's like, all right, how long do we have to establish... pinatas.
Yes.
Like,
and why
first of
was...
all, we're familiar with the concept of pinatas.
Yeah, we all know
Let's
how they
spend
work.
10 minutes
yes.
of this poor, in serious denial parent,
yes.
like, having this activity of, like, now
yes.
I'll literally blindfold myself.
Yeah.
And then when candy
yeah,
falls,
see what they did there.
One of
yeah.
my children will grab the candy, and my son will just pull out his dick.
And start fucking
and,
her.
Yeah. And dad is just like, all right.
It's some... extreme suspended disbelief.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he literally just they're angles his hips while they're still fucking, like, while the dad hangs a pinata. Yeah. Like, the dad isn't aware of what's
also
happening right next
why
to him.
Do the women have to be so painfully bad at the pinata? Like, but everyone is terrible at it. Like, they've never held a stick before.
It's like she's, like, fishing. She's, like, night fishing. She's like, that's not so the bad. Action for... Yeah.
She's doing an entirely irrelevant gesture.
How annoyed do you think those performers were when they're like, so this is what the scene is, and this is all you guys are going to do?
Oh, like mom and dad?
Yeah, like mom and dad. Like, they're like, so we're going to watch the three younger people have sex, but you guys are just going to be around. You're going to wash dishes. You're going to
play honestly,
with
the pinata.
If
my day rate is the same, I'm fine with it. Yeah. But that's just my personal, like, I love like showing or like doing something where I'm like, hi, I get like a couple zingers and then I'm out of there. Like, I'm a featured extra.
Right.
But yeah, in this case, like, I just imagine them, like, hanging out in whatever, like, behind the set there is. And then like, okay, you go next time. Okay, now, okay, you come back. Okay, I'm going to go now. Should we just go and, like, pretend to talk about a fork? Okay, I'm going to find a fork and then we'll talk about the fork. Like, just, like, improvising business.
Yeah.
peas and carrots. Like, doing the, like...
It was absolutely absurd. I also just have to say, like... I was not turned on at all by any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it hard to watch long enough to get to like, the actual like, sex.
Exactly.
Because of like, and I just remember thinking like, these fucking kids, this is fucking rude. Like, your parents put on this nice Cinco de Mayo party for this event that like no one in this family understands. To celebrate Mexico's victory over the French.
Did you, because I had to look it up before, I had to check, because I knew it was not Mexican Independence Day as it is commonly mistaken for, but I had to look up that it was like the Battle of Pueblo. And I was like, why?
I thank NPR and it being the month of May because I often forget. I'm like, I know it's not Independence Day, but I don't know why it is. I just...
Why do we do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, they were celebrating for all the right reasons. They were honoring the history in this film.
Yeah. There's a... I feel like a really weird... you know, and I see it at... I mean, I see it at the company that I work at. There's a... You want to take advantage of all of these holidays for search term relevance.
Yeah, in the food industry, it's like it's watermelon day. Like it's just like a reason to have a marketing push. It's
exactly.
A reason to create press around something.
It's like Memorial Day, watermelon, barbecues, like pool stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's you want to capitalize on it. But there's man, some of the stretches are so thin.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
I think they just got excited about the title pun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't need it. I really didn't need it.
Just, yeah.
None of this sex looks enjoyable by anyone.
Yeah. It was all logistically challenging. Like,
it just looked like there was a chair involved. It just seems like the performers knew what they were told to do beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, this is the point where, like, he goes down on her, and now she's sitting in a chair, and then they make out. It just didn't seem like it moved in any organic way or there was any sort of passion between any of the three of them. There was Logan is silent. He says nothing.
Yeah.
He's also just, like it doesn't seem like he's like touching them in a way that feels like, you know, sexy and the girls are doing this weird thing where they're like whispering back and forth each other. They're like, yeah, you like it? Yeah. And I was like, that's like
the
not,
weird like girl coaching. That
yeah.
Happens
what? In, yeah. I hate that. Yeah. That in mainstream porn. It's like
putting aside also the like suspended disbelief around our parents, like being in the room essentially.
Right.
I was like, just go. There surely, if this is a house, there's a bedroom somewhere. Like, just get out of there.
This is what I thought was the rude part about it.
Yeah, like they're on the floor. Like, she has to, like, sit on the chair. I'm like, there are better options here.
Also, what is the layout of that house? Like, are like, the parents just kind of stuck in the kitchen? You're like, like, I would totally like to leave, but, like, we decided not to remodel.
Yeah.
And we're stuck here now, just waiting for our kids to finish fucking.
Yeah, the house is a room and a half large. One room being a dining room and one being a kitchen, and there's nowhere else to go.
Right. Like, the thing that actually I was really disgusted by was when they bend over to do get the candy from the pinata, and then the stepsister stands up and then just onto her stepbrother's dick. And she's like, what the fuck? oh my God. Like,
oh God.
What? Like, get what out. Like, get off of me. And then she's like, oh, it kind of feels good. Like, I was like, what? There's nothing. This is so not okay. What is going on here?
The consent is confusing, but also just the notion of like, whoops, a dick slipped in is, you know.
Like she just literally just stood up and then just got, he inserted from behind. Like, and she was like, get off. Actually, wait.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like something I'm sure every woman who's accidentally got a penis in them has said. Wait a second. This is actually kind of...
Yeah, it's insulting.
Yeah, it's thoroughly insulting.
It's degrading. It's, let's be honest, it's degrading.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And then even more so when he just comes in her.
Yeah. Oh, and there was, well, let's talk about that first, and I'll get to this other moment that I was like, what the fuck happened there?
Yeah, there's so much.
Yeah, I know. So he just comes in her, and she's like,
you didn't say
just
anything?
Dismayed.
Like, yeah.
But for hell? None of the reasons that someone would be dismayed about that. She like seems mad that he like spilled her milk.
Right. It's not like,
yeah, the reaction
dick.
Doesn't seem like appropriate at all.
Yeah. Right. It's not fitting for the circumstances.
Yeah, for the stakes.
Also, there was a moment I clocked where, okay, so this is when Anya's in the chair. And then, stepsister's in the chair, and then friend is getting fucked from behind, but also going down on stepsister. And friend just stops the cunnilingus to presumably enjoy getting fucked, presumably come, just from, like, getting fucked from behind, which is, like, a whole other thing.
Question.
A whole other, like, lucky you if that's the case.
Yeah.
And then... stops and just kind of has her like face buried in her crotch and is like just getting kind of like fucked into her crotch, but she's stopped going down on her to presumably like start to come. And then I think the stepsister's reaction is to then come to like simulate a simultaneous orgasm, but I'm like, but she stopped doing the thing that would theoretically be stimulating you.
Yeah. How did anyone have an orgasm?
Like,
here?
Total contradictory logic there. She's like, oh, are we coming now? I'll go too. I'll go too. Even though you've stopped, and I'm just literally just sitting here with your face in my leg.
Yeah. How about when she?
Did you clock that?
I there was so much going on that it's so hard to like. Like, for me, getting out of this, like, bizarre world where this, like, thing is, like, happening was so strong.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes now when I watch things that are, you know, marketed to more mainstream things, like, I get so, like, porn blind. And, like, the things that I'm looking, if I have to watch a scene like that, like, you know, to the, like, all the way through, like... I think I've definitely been training myself to like look for different things, and like I think I've seen enough like before. Like threesomes are like logistically hard to film, and that's if you're catering to that mainstream market and that audience has certain expectations. It's like, all right, how do I get like, you know, when it's just two people, it's like, how do I get like face and like where like the action is and like good angles for people, and then you add a third person in and it makes it more like exponentially like awkward for like the angles of like, you know, presenting what you're presenting, and then versus like anybody actually enjoying the situation. And you know, you never know like what the direction is like off camera, you know.
Have you ever done anything this mainstream? Like, have you ever like shown up to set to do a shoot? You're like, this is preposterous, but like we're doing it. Like, any experiences like that where you?
I have many, many, many in my history of doing that sort of thing. I mean, it's. I think this is kind of like, I think like the bigger issue, I'm going to step on my soapbox for a second.
Please.
And then
I was
step
on
back
one
down.
Earlier.
you know, I think there's like a real issue of like transparency, like in the adult industry, and like, you know, and there's a spectrum within that. Like there's like transparency, which causes for like horrible things to happen. Like people don't know what's expected of them. They don't know like, you know, how they can communicate, like, you know, their boundaries and their limits,
and
or that it's okay to do so.
Yeah.
And then there's like this sort of transparency of like, oh, like you get to set and then you find out more details about the plot. And then you're like, okay, well, like whether that's the range of like, this is really corny or this
or
has some problematic.
Yeah,
problematic elements, which has definitely been my experience as a person of color. And I don't know a person of color in the industry who hasn't had that experience.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, not to say that is everybody's experience, but like I, you know, every time, but like I know a lot of people have had that at least one, you know, on some sort of spectrum of like,
it was uncomfortable versus it was like fully,
Yeah. And then you have to like, you know, you have to do that math like on set of like, okay, like, do I feel like I can say something to like the director who may or may not care about the script? And like, sometimes it's a matter of like changing like one word or leaving one word out, or like, how about we use this term instead of that term? And you know, I feel like for the most part, a lot of people are like amenable to that. You know, but there are those cases where people are like, no, like, this is what, you know, the members of the site want, or this is, you know, and you have to do that math of like, well, can I afford to like, you know, like not make this money?
Yeah.
And can I afford to like
leave this shoot, what that costs my career?
Yeah. Also what that costs all the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, like if we're all on a set and like I decide like, hey, like I really can't like hang with this scenario, then it's like, all right, I know you're showing up to like make money if you're like my scene partner, and like you are gonna lose out on money, like, and it's we work with a lot of the same people all the time, especially crew. I think a lot of people don't know that there's a lot of like, you know, you work for this company, you work for that company, and
it tends to be the same crew.
I think especially in LA, where a lot of people get a lot of other opportunities to work on like mainstream gigs or better paying gigs or you know, commercial stuff, you know, you see a lot of the same, like a lot of the same faces or a lot of the same makeup artists, and like you do realize that like that cost, you know, time and energy of the production.
Yeah.
And so you have to do that sort of mental math sometimes of like, all right,
am I going to walk out right now or is it worth it?
Yeah.
That's tough. That's got to be really challenging to navigate. Anything else about this before we move on to L'Appel du Vide?
No, I wanted to talk about something that I enjoy.
Yeah. Let's move on. So the next one we want to talk about is, it's called L'Appel du Vide, which means The Call of the Void. This is from Four Chambers. Featuring Mickey Maude. So this is our first time talking about a porn with the performer here who was a part of it. Have you ever like reviewed your own work?
Not in this format.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like something that is also contributing to your nervousness and / excitement. And so I was just going to let you review it, but I was just going to make direct eye contact with you the entire time so that make it as uncomfortable for you as possible.
You were just going to stare me down while I talked about masturbating to this film.
Yeah, pretty much.
I had actually eased in. I had started to feel less nervous, but it's coming back. So this is good. I should also say this also features Vex Ashley, who is the founder, one of the founders of Four Chambers, and Owen Gray, who we mentioned earlier. All
my
favorites
performer.
Of ours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Owen is Rachel's fave.
Yeah.
So the premise of this film, it's a threesome. It also has a really brilliant conceit around jealousy and betrayal, I think, that is sort of woven into it. Mm-hmm. And it's, we open on... Actually, Rachel, you take it because I have to look through my notes for a second.
So there's a little blurb about it underneath the video, which I really loved. And something that was written about it saying like sex and what turns us on is like intrinsically connected to our fears.
Yes.
Which is something that I like totally believe in. And I believe that like sex and all of these other like big emotions are like deeply connected.
Yeah.
And also like, you know, to like walk up to that fear and like stare it down. It's like the whole idea of like the call of the void. So we're starting straight off with the action, which I appreciate, you know, we're just right into it. There's no like build up, you know, I feel like it's very artfully edited. You know, it's in between, like we start with the action, but then we also go back in like time, and you know, the way it unfolds isn't necessarily linear. Which I love, you know, because that's not, you know, necessarily what I'm thinking about or what I, how I like to, you know, watch videos when I masturbate. You know, we all talk about how we curate our little tabs.
I was going to go back to the premise a bit because I just feel like having Mickey here, I'm curious if it was talked about. Like, the conceit sort of implies that Vex and Owen are partnered and you are a third. Like, is the idea that you are coming in and you are the, like, threat to a specific character? Or did you talk about those dynamics? Or was it more of, like, an overarching thematic thing that came out later?
You know, I feel like... Also, this is the first time that I've actually watched this scene. So, apart from, like, the trailer, like, sometimes it's hard for me to, like, watch, like, a whole, like, performance all the way through because then I start, like, critiquing my own performance or, like, you know. So, you know, that was a different experience for me. But and also, like, I have shot for Four Chambers, like, many times, mm-hmm. and I've shot with, like, Vex and Owen, like, a number of different times. So sometimes, like, things start to kind of, like, blur in terms of, like, what moments from what shoots are actually sort of in my... I'm trying to find a way to explain my shitty memory. but essentially, you know, from what I remember, like, and I think a lot is kind of... was kind of discussed in terms of, like, thematic and kind of, like, conceptual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, you know, we kind of want to do, like, a play on, like, these sort of themes. Mm-hmm. And I feel from... In my experience of, like, what happens on set and then, like, the finished, like, edit, there's a lot of, like, you know, post-production work that goes into it. And, like, in terms of, like, the editing and, mm-hmm. like, you know, how that kind of comes together with all of the... stylistic, like, choices that they make.
Yeah.
And so I'm always interested to see, like, how the final product has differed a lot.
Yeah.
But we talked about, you know, what the sort of, like, theme elements were. And I think it's also interesting to see other people see it and how they kind of interpret it, because it's not, like, you know, it's so far from, like, all right, Cinco de Mayo, like, we knew there wasn't a whole lot of, like, I feel like the deep introspection that we did was not what the creators of Cinco de Mayo expected us to do. You know?
Yeah.
But I think that's, like, what makes, you know, a good porn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I picked up on it because part of why, like, this porn is so hot to me is that it's two, like, the primary focus is, like, two men pleasuring one woman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is part of, like, the fantasy to me of, like, the kind of three-way I would want to have.
Yeah.
I want to be the center of the party. I want to be the belle of the ball. But I thought it, like, went even further, just, like, dealing with that, like, jealousy dynamic, this, like, this fear and, like, moving into that and using it as, like, a source of tension was really compelling to me. Also, the shoot, like, I love the, like, abandoned building vibe.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I love that it felt, like, you know, gritty and archaic. And I think there's something on the Four Chambers site about, like, art school bullshit. Like, that's something mm-hmm. that they say in their, like, mission statement, which I just love, that it, like, feels high art but is, like, aware mm-hmm. of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like, stylized without being, like, entirely out to sea. Do you know why there was a swan in this porn? That was the one element that I do not...
Yeah, it felt like it was a reference that I was missing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why there was a swan in it. I love that the swan was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah,
actually, when I, like, take another watch at it again and kind of break it down, like, I didn't. Being familiar with, like, okay, like, I was there, I remember that shoot, and I've seen, the, like, the trailer, like, I didn't give it as much critical, like, critique as, like, what the fuck was going on in Cinco de Mayo. So, like, the juxtaposition of the two was quite great, and I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's, I actually really loved majority of the text also that was, like, mm-hmm. included in it. Like, it really added to, I didn't necessarily mind that I didn't know, like, who everyone was in the relationship. I also was like, maybe it's the person, you know, the idea that the person behind the camera is the person who's in the relationship with the with Vex.
I actually like that too. I like that it was kind of like you could assume like multiple things. Like going
you can
into
interpret
it
differently, and that that's a sign of good art. I think I do think this is very artful.
Yeah, I mean, there was just some incredible, any of like the backlit shots in that doorway, I thought were stunning.
Yeah.
You know, they were hot to look at. I've never experienced like watching like her going back and forth between like you and Owen. I was never like, oh, I'm concerned for her. You know what I mean? It's just like something that I feel like, you know, in a lot of porn with like, you know, with like two guys and a girl, like sometimes it's like, you know, because obviously like there are like physical threats and things like that. But I was never concerned for her or anyone's safety. And it was obviously like everyone's pleasure was like the most important thing.
She seemed very well taken care of.
100%.
And Vex did not direct this one or did? I think she didn't, right? Or do you remember?
You know, it's always like a collaborative like effort.
Nice.
Like
on
their sets in my experience. So
There was some DP in there, man. And I fucking loved it. I was here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, sorry, I just remembered something that like my, a really, like one of my best friends from college, she always asked me like, she asked me this question a while back. She's like, so when there's like a DP and it's like two, can you feel like the other guy's like dick? And I'm just like, yep. Yep, you can. And it's all right.
Like, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna be okay, and probably feels great.
To it. Yeah.
I think there's a tendency also in a lot of like threesome scenes where it's like two men, it becomes this sort of like spectacle sort of thing of like capacity and like what can this person like take that you know like things to go a little bit more rougher rather than more sensual.
Yeah,
and like not really kind of respecting that like. You know, for like people need like appropriate like warm up and like it's not like, you know, while sometimes it's like great to have that sort of like athleticism like in like your sex, like that's not the experience of like a lot of people.
Exactly.
And like you're enjoying an experience. And I think sometimes we forget that in like making things to like
to represent like a real experience and to make it like believable essentially, like feel like a genuine interaction. This one definitely, as much as it was like stylized and high art and had these like beautiful shots, I still was like, I believe these people are fucking and like enjoying it and that it's like organic in that way.
Yeah. And there was also like post-orgasm, like really nice, you know, like post-coital kissing and sucking, which I loved.
Yeah.
Overall, loved it.
Yeah. Fantastic film. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we made you watch it.
I know.
I'm glad you did too. Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right. So maybe I'll just direct this question to Laura. But Laura, are either of these going into your spank bank?
Well, we know that Lapel David is already there.
It's already in there.
So it's in there. And yeah, I don't think I'll be revisiting Cinco de Mayo.
Certainly
except
not.
For a good laugh. Maybe not even that. But
maybe just so people can watch her friend shove a burrito in her mouth as she gets fucked.
Oh, yeah. The burrito moment. I didn't even go on about that. Like, so that she wouldn't scream when she came. Yeah. She just put like a weird, like looked synthetic burrito in her mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways,
we got to wrap up.
We got to wrap up.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mickey. This was enlightening for us and thrilling for me. And
this was great.
Was a
thank you again. Really quick, just a reminder, if you guys haven't subscribed, you should totally subscribe. Smash that button. Leave us a review. We love reading them. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram at girlsonpern. That's girls on porn without the O. And
thanks for listening. This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good for women and men. And non-binary folks, too.
Everybody, we love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.